Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Welcome to On the Ground of Christian Fellowship Bible study and discussion. Because it's here that we not only reread God's word, but we discuss it as well. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions because, you know, how can we learn if we don't ask questions? So it's good to see everybody here. And we got a wonderful lesson tonight.
Amen.
The lesson is serve with joy.
Amen.
Serve with joy. The lesson will be coming from the book of John, the 13th chapter, the 1st through 17th verse, as well as the 15th chapter, the 9th and 12th verse. Again, that's the book of John, the 13th chapter, the 1st and 17th verse.
Amen.
Amen. But before we get started, let's open tonight's Bible study discussion with prayer.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for once again, Lord, for bringing us together, Lord, gathering us together, Lord, your church, Lord,
yes,
to give you honor, to give you praise, Father. We thank you, Lord, for gathering us here, Lord, so we can learn more about you, Lord, so that you will be glorified, Father, so that you would give us the means, Lord, your word, so that we could, just have our lifestyle, you know, where we'll be glorifying you, Lord.
Yes.
Ask your Heavenly Father, please continue to be with us, Lord.
Yes.
Ask, Lord, to let your presence be here tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Open
yes.
up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to receive what you will give us, Lord.
Yes.
And we just want to say thank you, Lord,
thank
for
you,
your word, Lord. God, you say that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out the mouth of God, Lord. So
yes.
let us open up our eyes, Lord. Open up our minds, our hearts, our spirits
yes,
to your word, Lord, so that
yes,
we could just continue to live and glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the zeal. Thank you, Lord, for the passion that you had given us, Lord, for you, God.
Yes.
And help us, Lord, as we just continue to draw closer and closer to you, Father. As you said, Jesus, to the woman at the well, you've given us fountains of living water, Lord. And we just want to say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, say and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to read first. Well, I'm going to read first. From the book of John again, the 13th chapter. I'm reading from the 1st to the 17th verse. And the subject tonight is called Serve with Joy. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And it reads, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know it after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And now I will go to the 15th chapter of John, and I read from the 9th to the 12th verse. And I read, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, and I love you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word of God. Basically, it's talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we're going to go a little bit, start a little bit different how we used to do a Bible study and discussion club. Right now, we were just going to the question, but I just want to go over the scripture here, and I would like for you guys to participate. So let's begin at, say, chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, and this one, everybody know what the Passover is. Amen. It says, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he would depart from this world to the Father. What does that mean right there?
What's the that?
Excuse me?
What's the that you're referring to?
Was that, I was talking about Jesus knew that his hour had come.
Oh. Well, I mean, he knew that it was time. Look, Jesus came here on a mission, right? Jesus' mission was to suffer, bleed, and die for us, right? And there was a time appointed for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where he was going to get betrayed and that he was going to have to go to the cross for us. And, you know, he had previously said in other times, his time had not, my hour has not come.
Yes.
But now he knew that the hour was at hand.
Exactly. You know, remember when Jesus' first miracle, say when he turned the water into wine, you know, his mother said, son, you know, they have no more wine. And then he said, woman, why are you bothering me with this? Did you not know that my hour has not yet come?
Uh-huh.
As Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. He know that, again, Jesus is God. He know what he came here to do. But yet, he know this is not the time for him to do what he was expected. So yes, he had time to go around, teach, preach, what have you. But he know that the purpose of him to come to this earth was to die for us. So that's why I say my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. Now it says right here, my hour is come. He know that he's going to die. He know that everything was going to happen to him. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be spat upon. He's going to be crucified. And one thing he said, he's going to be separated. Say, you know, taking the sins, our sins upon him. You know, that's a heavy thing right there. So now he says, my hour has come. So this is what, you know, we talk about right here. And it says, continue on with verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That's something right there. Jesus know, right then and there, you know, way before that, Judas would be the one to betray him. But yet, he allowed, you know, Judas to stay with him all this time. You know, Judas heard the word. There are people who say in the church, you know, who hear the word of God, who receive, you know, some way, you know, I say just hear, but they're not truly receiving the word of God, but yet they're not part of the flock. So this right here is saying right here that Judas, you know, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas that he was going to betray Jesus. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus knew he was here, despite what's going on in the earth, he knew what his mission was. He rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel in which he was girded. What is the significance of that? They might know.
Because maybe what the garment that maybe what he had on, if he didn't put it up and tie it around his waist, whatever, you know, maybe didn't make, you know, get messed up or something like that.
Yeah, you know
so
that.
So, you know, being, for him to, and then for him to carry the basin, you know, that would help, that help him, you know, avoid him to have everything that he has to go back and forth to get it. So he can use that, you know, to tie it around him to, you know, because after he did that, then he loosened it and wiped his disciples' feet.
Mm-hmm. But that's just at the end of everything, you know, just having everything together. Mm-hmm. But may I should ask this, say, what is the basis of why would Jesus wash his disciples' feet?
Because I believe that, you know, he wanted to show how much, you know, he loves them. And he want them to show the same love to each other. You know, so if he is this, if he is the Father and he is the Lord, and he can bend down and wash their feet, so he expect them to do the same for each other, love each other, you know, and stuff like that.
How is washing a disciple's feet showing love? How's that?
People's feet are stinks. So when you take when you take somebody's feet, you know, and put it in a basin and wash it, that shows you how much you care for that person. When you take care of somebody, you know, and don't have any negative things in you doing it, you know, that shows you how much you love that person. You know, that shows love.
And so by Jesus washing the disciples' feet, it was a show of love.
Yeah, the part of it shows love.
Also, Jesus was a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was using a servant's towel. To dry their feet, and that's the example that he wanted to set for the rest of the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, you know, I don't know if you have gone to other churches, sometimes they think that because they the pastor, you know, they can't serve. You know what I mean? Like, they can't do nothing else except for preach.
Mm-hmm.
So, but right there we know that that's not correct, because the Bible says that Jesus did it, right? He
mm-hmm.
went and he became a servant to us. Let's put it that way. So it should be the same thing with us, that we should be able to be servant to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
If he did it, which is the Master, the Alpha, the Omega,
mm-hmm.
who am I not to serve? You know what I mean?
What did Jesus say to his disciples before this occurred about servants to his disciples? What did Jesus say to his servants? To his disciples about serving, or being servants?
Before the
feet
washing.
Mm-hmm. What did he say to them? Did anyone remember?
In this text?
Not in this text, before this account happened. This is something that Jesus said to his disciples about serving or being servants before this happened.
Well, I mean, I guess I can give you one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said many things. But, you know, one of the things he... Because they were fighting about who was going to be greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said to them, hey, that's not the world, you know, views greatness as being served.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that way in the kingdom of God. He said,
mm-hmm.
anybody want to be great among you, let that one be your servant. You know what I mean? And he also said, just like I didn't come to be served, I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many.
Mm-hmm.
So he let them know that greatness in the kingdom of God is through servanthood.
Exactly. You know, as it was in the account before where, you know, a couple of disciples was saying, well, Lord, they had their mother. Who's going to sit beside you in the kingdom? When you come to your kingdom, am I going to sit right beside you, or is this one person going to sit beside you? And Jesus said, that's not, you know, that's according to the Father who's going to sit with or beside me. He said, but the greatest in the kingdom will be servants. So that's what he was drawing right there, you know, that it is one who served, there will be the greatest within the kingdom of God. And so with this foot washing right here, one of the reasons that Jesus washed feet, because during, in this time, in this era, remember, this is like in Israel, it's, you know, sandy, it's dirty, it's mud, like Christine said, yeah, you walk around, yeah, your feet going to get dirty, it going to get stinky or what have you. But in a tradition, somebody with the house, if you go into a person's home, you will take off your sandals, and they will just wash your feet. It's a show of not only servanthood, but also like to give, you know, your guests comfort, you know, to, you know, to help relax them. You know, you're welcome here. And so this is one of the things that Jesus did. He who is God, you know, took off his, you know, clothed himself, and he just basically washed his disciples' feet. You know, saying that I'm God, but I'm Lord myself. So you could be, so I could serve you. So therefore, he wants us to serve other people as well. And Jesus said, going on to verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing now, you don't understand now, but you will know after that. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Now, Jesus lowered, you know, himself by being a servant to other people. Now, here, Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said that, if I do not wash you, he said, you have no part with me. Is Jesus still saying that today for people who don't want to serve?
Yeah.
Is Jesus still saying that today? He's still saying that today in the church for people who just want to just mass and relax and get all what I can get for myself. And that's so true. Yes, he is. He's still saying. He is still calling us. The same commandments that God gave us back over 2,000 some years ago is still calling us today. He's still calling everyone within the kingdom, within the body to serve. Amen.
Yeah. You know, on that score, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of the, you know, when you, the Jesus we see in the Bible mm-hmm. is the same Jesus today.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when Jesus ascended mm-hmm. in the book of Acts, and, you know, the angels were there, and disciples are watching him go, and they said, why are you standing here watching, you know, him go? He said, this same Jesus is going to come back. And but also too, I mean, so the thing is, the Jesus who was here mm-hmm. and the Jesus who come back is the same Jesus. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the scriptures also say Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Forever, mm-hmm. yes.
So what he was then, he is today. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can, oh well, that's what he said then. No. If he said it then, he's saying the same thing now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is my.
Yeah, that I also symbolize that washing the feet. Like, for example, you see, like, when you come for the first time to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, you come with a lot of baggage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You come dirty, full of sin. You want to give up, stinky, dirty. You see what I mean? And I like what he says there to Peter, because Peter is saying to him, oh, don't wash my feet, right? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, that's how people who are not Christian right now, you know, that's what they're saying, literally, you know, like, I don't believe, you know what I mean? I don't think that there's somebody that could wash my feet, that could take the dirt away, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So, good perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I symbolize it that way too, you know, because he's greaty, he's everything.
But even what Nadia said, You say, Peter said, don't wash my feet. Mm-hmm. It meant that, to me, what it meant to Peter that you are my Lord. Mm-hmm. And you are my Savior. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to bend down and wash my feet. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to do that to me.
Yeah.
You know, and that looked like you showed disrespect to him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I get from that.
And that's true.
And you symbolize that right now with people outside of being a Christian. They feel like, I'm too dirty to come to God.
Yes.
But he is all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's where we need to go when we... more dirty than anything else. He's the one who cleans us. He's the one who protects us, who provides us, and everything else.
Exactly. That's so true. Because Jesus is the one who washes us, who cleanses us.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what Sister Christine says something important, I think, right? Because, you know, and Kanaida's right about people who are outside, because some people say, hey, I'm so dirty. But Peter wasn't outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter was inside, and he still said this. So Peter's more like those who are in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, like, Peter was how do you say this? Look at what was going on. Jesus wanted to do something, and Peter didn't want Jesus to do it.
Yes.
And... you know, God wants to do things for us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in our mind, we start thinking about our worthiness and everything. Mm-hmm. And we don't want God to do what God wants to do for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that in some ways, you know what it is? Grace really is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That the idea that we get something that we don't deserve makes us uncomfortable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't even like receiving compliments sometimes. Oh, I didn't really do nothing. But, you know, God wants to lavish stuff on us.
Yes.
And we have a hard time
receiving it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So in some ways, like Peter, we go, you're going to do that for me, Lord?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I see it that way, you know, that idea of, like, you're the Lord, you can't do for me. But that's God's love.
Exactly.
God wants to do for us
so
much. And here our mind goes into, what can I do for God? You know what you can do for God?
Yes.
You can accept what God wants to do for you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. As Pastor Jeff said that, I was just remembering one time he preached and he said, a lot of time people giving you stuff. Like somebody come and... you know, giving yourself. Say, oh no, man! You know, no, I don't want that. I don't want. You say, you giving it to you. Take it.
Exactly.
He said, <"I'm>
exactly. You know, he says, you know, that's one thing. So we sometimes, you know, because we know there are people who, you know, who we ain't talking about the world. You know, there are people who will, like, try to take advantage of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're talking about within the body of Christ. If someone is giving you something or giving up on themselves, say thank you. You know, there's nothing wrong with receiving that. Mm-hmm. You know. You know, we all like, no, you don't do it. Oh, that's too much or whatever.
Yeah.
No, just smile and say
thank you.
Because it's a gift. It's the beginning of something. And so true. And also true because Jesus, who is God, you know, was the Lord himself, you know, to be a servant. And, you know, as Peter in his mind, he was like, oh, no, you're not. No, you ain't going to wash me, you know. And he said, Jesus said, if you don't, he said, you ain't going to have no part with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to read what happened after that. And verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. See, here's a turnaround, verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Let's start right there. Now, here it is. Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. Why is it only his feet, he was saying. He said he's bathed, and as Pastor Jeff hit something about that earlier, this is people, you know, he's in his disciple. He's one of his own. So why just his feet? And you guys hit a little bit. You guys bring out the clip notes. And you guys hit about and Christine, actually, it was Sister Christine who hit something about it a little bit earlier, but she said about stinky feet. What would make a feet stink?
Hard work.
Sweat. Hard work, sweat. What would make a feet dirty?
Sand.
Let me see and try. Bring something out, y'all. We're in the body of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Are we perfect?
No. No, we're not.
No, we're not perfect. But we are saved, right?
Yes.
So we're saved, but we're not perfect.
No, we're not perfect.
So what washes us?
Blood.
Yes, yes, you're right. Wait, okay.
Well, like, there's two things, mm-hmm. right? And you know, you were asking about the feet.
Yes.
You know, so from the natural perspective, mm-hmm. right, he said, look, you took a bath, you walked here, you're clean, but your feet are dusty and dirty because
yes.
you walked here, the mm-hmm. dust and got on you, the sandals and everything else.
Yes.
So when you come in somebody's house, you don't need to take a bath all over again.
Exactly.
You just need your feet washed.
Yes.
So that's one from just a natural perspective.
Yes.
But from a spiritual perspective, right, those who accepted God,
mm-hmm.
you've been cleansed.
Yes.
But you ain't, you know what I mean? You still have some imperfections in you
yes.
that the Lord still needs to tend to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But he doesn't have to do, you know, he doesn't have to save you all over
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Jesus don't have to come down and die on the center for you. Okay. Uh oh, James came alive. I'm going to die.
Right.
Uh oh, James stole 5 cents. So
right.
I ain't going to
happen
again.
Yeah.
You know, we already saved. And Pastor Jeff is right.
That's why I was looking over at
God. Yeah, I know. Sister Christine was looking at Pastor Jeff. He's like, I want to say so much. She wants Pastor Jeff to say it more.
I was just reading her mind.
Exactly. There you go. But that is so true. There's two significance here. Two things here. Because like I said, we take a bath, but our feet is traveled. We go here and there. We work, whatever. And so it's dirty. So therefore, when you go into a home or what have you, during this time, you know, only your feet need to be washed. Because it's been traveled. You know, now it's like you're walking on your hands. Your hand need to be, you know, what have you. But it's just your feet. So that need to be washed. Now, so as far as spiritual I was concerned, you know, yes, we are saved, and as I asked Sister Christine, I say, are we not saved, but yet we're not perfect.
Yes.
So therefore, there's some things that still need to get out in our lives, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is the significance behind that.
Okay, praise the Lord.
And Jesus said, but it's completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean, meaning Judas. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. There's two things right there. God is our teacher, but yet he's also our Lord, our master. And you say well, for I am. Then if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet, meaning a servant. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Again, here it is right here. Jesus said that if he's our teacher and Lord, you know, that we're not greater than him. He said if he's able to, you know, humble himself and be our servant. We cannot go around and say, I'm not going to serve no one. You know, thing that he said, you're not greater than me. If I could do it, you could do it as well. And doing the spirit of love. It says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen. Now we're going to go to the lesson. It says, the Gospel of John records some of Jesus' most intimate moments with his disciples, moments that took place just hours before Jesus was arrested and crucified. There were moments in which Jesus demonstrated and taught his disciples once again about the joy of loving and serving others. The story begins with Jesus, who loved his own to the end, expressed his love by kneeling before each of his disciples in humble service. He did what only a servant would have done. He disrobed, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and washed each one's feet. Jesus shared his heart in those moments, saying, in essence, I love you. In the same tender, unshakable way that God the Father loves me, I love you. This reality is the foundation for all of life. This reality is the source of joy. You are love. Receive this love. Rest in this love. Stay close to me and to my love for you. Jesus continued by calling disciples to love and serve others. It is helpful to know the order of this teaching. First, we are told that we are love, which is so important. Then we are told to remain in the reality of that love. And then we are called to love each other. First, we allow Jesus to kneel before us. We receive his gift of intimate love for us. Then we respond to Jesus to call to join him in kneeling in joyful service to all others. As we begin to take in God's love and rest in that love, we begin to change. We begin to see others as God sees them through eyes of love. We also begin to see each task and challenge that lies before us as an opportunity to remain in God's love, drawing strength and wisdom from God in order to joyfully give of ourselves to others. Amen. Yeah. Group discussion. Think of someone you know or have encountered who joyfully gave of themselves to serve and love others. What was it like to be with him or her? Can we think of someone we know or encountered who joyfully gave of themselves? And once again, the crickets have the audience. I could think of someone, and we do here every on Wednesday before it is Pastor Jeff. Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Jeff, seriously, Pastor Jeff joyfully give of himself, you know, through the food distribution. Every Wednesday, you know, he, you know, give of himself his time, and, you know, open the door and he give a distribute food to everybody. You know, whoever would come. You know, he not say, okay,
Yeah, but we all do that.
Yeah, but I just want
to we all are doing that. That's yes. A collective, that's a right, because
yes.
No one, and everybody does that willingly, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I think that's important. Right?
Yes.
Because those who come, mm-hmm. they come because they have the time, but then they want to use the time to do that.
Yes.
So to me, that's like, you know, we all come together
yes.
to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think, okay. Pastor Jeff initiated that. Pastor Jeff initiated that, though.
Yeah, but
But we all partake in it.
Yeah, and I think that's important because I think, you know, it shows the heart of the ministry, which mm-hmm. is more important. You know what I mean? Because it's not about one person. You know, mm-hmm. It's like if we come together, you know, like it's the reason why the Bible said, right? One chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. You know, two people, three people, four people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we really can make so much more of a difference.
Yeah.
You know, because then God, you know, really inhabits that. Mm-hmm. Even more. So I like the fact that we come together and we all
share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we all have a good time doing it.
Yes, we do.
You know?
It's like this. Class, do you see this man say how humble he is? He wouldn't say, oh, it was just me. He would say, no, we all, right? We all come together. We all share. That's the true humbleness in the heart of God for, you know, a person, you know, who has a true heart for God.
Can I ask that question?
Yes, sir.
Because I know someone. There's a young lady named Sharon O'Donnell. Right? Mm-hmm. She works at the where I used to work at the baseball union.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anyone like her,
mm-hmm.
inside or outside the church. And I don't know, you know, if she goes to, you know, if she goes to church or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen anyone like her with the willingness to do something at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
You know, for someone else. Mm-hmm. And to do it with a smile. And, you know, the question asked, what's it like to be with him or her?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where when you see that, you say to yourself, I need to be like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's really, you know, really remarkable, you know, the way she's like just, you know, I mean, and do anything.
Yes.
You know, someone lost their glasses or left their phone somewhere, and you know, she started calling around more than they did to try to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the person found out where it was, mm-hmm. she said, I'll go get it. It's not her stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all sincere. So that's, and when I see that, when you see things like that, you just want to be like that.
Exactly. Exactly. When you see someone who has a true heart for God, who just want to help, you know, people. You know, y'all know where there's some job. Oh, God, Sister Christine.
I just yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I really have to, you know, shed really tears because Annalisa, a niece of mine, she gave my nephew a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never, ever, the only time she'd been to the doctor is just get checkup and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she in a good bill of health and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, you know, he has a father and he has a mother, you know. You know, I think they're the one who would have done that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. She was the one who did it for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me shows a kindness,
yeah.
You know, and a love, you know, to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really touched me the way how it happened, you know, so.
But that's what the whole thing is. It's served with joy. Also, as Jesus said within the other chapter of 15, talking about love. Because that's why, you know, we do things because we love people. You know, with the food distribution, because we love people. We don't want to see someone starving or hungry.
No.
So that's why we, you know, we do it. You know, whatever we could do, you know, we open our hearts. You know, I'm here to help you. That's what Jesus wanted. That's what he was showing. You know, with the disciple, with the washing of the feet, you know, say with as far as say, you know, giving up her kidney for her brother, that was a show of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of things that we do every day. There's some things that we do, you know, even with work. You know, we serve. There's something that we do where we serve, where we get paid. You know, we'll say, well, that's just a job, whatever. But there are some things that goes beyond, say, the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that say, you know, I'm doing because, you know, for me, whenever I get a chance to serve people, you know, it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is just do something. Like, I remember we talked about a few years ago, you know, we had a snowstorm. You know, the famous story where I went out there, I shoveled my neighbor's walk and neighbor's walk, and I did six of my neighbor's walk and driveway. And I wasn't there, oh, my back hurting or what have you. No, to me, I felt good. And I felt good, you know, really, I used to say, it's almost like an unexplainable feeling or sense you have by helping people. I have neighbors next door to me, you know, who's elderly. I have a person across the street from me, you know, just as young as I am, but I do his walk. And I didn't mind. I don't care. Because I know I'm doing them a service. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and whether they know it was James Lyons who did it or not, I didn't care. But as long as it helped them. Mm-hmm. And it helped me. And I didn't care how long it was out there. And it was good. So, that, I mean, and that's the spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You know, I have also a friend of my sister of ours, to say, because we are in one body, Cleo. She goes out and she just, she go around distributing foods. She help people go from one place to another. You know, it ain't paying her, but she just wanted to help people. Amen. And that's one thing they say, to serve. And that's what Jesus is saying, you know, we are here to serve one another. You know, and that's a wonderful thing. And the lesson here is to serve with joy. Okay. It says, okay, well, I think we did a little bit of the personal reflection. Talking about, think of a time when you found yourself joyful about serving someone. So we just did a couple things right there. Question number one. What was on Jesus' heart and mind at this time in his life? And this is a reference to chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. We discussed some of this, but just to go over again. What was on Jesus' heart and mind at this time?
I think that this time has come, mm-hmm. and you know, all this suffering that he has to go through, all the sins that he has to take on, mm-hmm. on him and stuff like that.
How do you think Jesus felt?
Well,
you know, if you know that you're about to die within 10, 15 minutes, how would that make you feel?
Just worry, scare.
Imagine the natural emotion that Jesus had. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jesus continued to do, you know, what, you know, just to continue to teach and show his servants, excuse me, his disciples, you know, how to continue to be servants of him.
There's a legacy also, mm-hmm. that
Amen.
You want to leave.
And yes.
That's what Jesus wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to set an example.
Yes.
For the disciples and all others to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his primary thing he wanted to leave.
Exactly. Legacy. Mm-hmm. And that's something, because Jesus was feeling all this emotional, you know, feeling, you know he's going to die, and it's the thing he had to go through, but yet he said still wanted to continue on with his mission. And that's something that sometimes as disciples of, you know, ourselves being disciples, you know, when we face with different obstacles in the world, we're going to get anxious or worried about this thing, but yet it's still, we have to continue to press on.
Yeah, you know, Brother Les used the word that we don't often say,
mm-hmm.
you know, legacy.
Yes.
You know, because legacy is something that we leave behind.
Yeah.
You know, and I think so much of the living that most folk do,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we get caught up in it as well, I think,
mm-hmm.
is in the here and now.
Yeah.
You know, but the idea of a legacy, and we talk about that here a lot, right? That we're here to make a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're gone, it should make a difference that we were here.
Yes.
You know, to our family and to others as well. And I think that's something that's part of being heavenly minded.
Yes.
You know, that you're thinking about the legacy you're going to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's an important thing, because it sort of guides the way you live here and now, because you're concerned about when you're going to leave.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's something that you say, especially say about being a servant, because some people say, yeah, remember, even if someone had passed, remember Mr. So-and-so, man, he would help you out, mm-hmm. no matter what. He would come out no matter if it was, you know, 10 inches of snow. He would, mm-hmm. even though if you say you need some milk, he would, he don't care. He would come out 12 o'clock at midnight and come pick you up and take you to the store, and he will buy your food and what have you. You know, that's just something right there. It's a leaving a legacy. And you will remember that. And remember what that person had done. So that's a real good example, Brother Lester. Mm-hmm. Jesus is, you know, trying to leave a legacy for us. You know, an example for us that we can live by. Okay, question number two. What was the significance of Jesus' act of washing his disciples' feet? We also answered that as well. We're going to go over that. What's the significance again? Just to get a universal stand, what's the significance of Jesus' act of washing his disciples' feet?
That if he did it, you could do it too. You know, like in other words, if he, that he's the master servant, then, you know, who are you or me that we can't do the same thing?
But that's the same thing that Brother Les just said too. That shows legacy.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to leave that connection
mm-hmm.
with the disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And he want them not to leave each other, to know that he's God. Do us what God does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like I was mm-hmm. about to say earlier, about to say, there are some churches or pastors, you know, they won't lift a finger, you know, to do anything. I remember one pastor, you know, just cleaning up, you know, he was just sitting down, mm-hmm. you know, always proclaiming he's the leader, sitting down while everybody was just scurrying around working. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking myself, I said, you're not the leader, you're just a supervisor. He's just watching me work. So I'm the leader. I'm the leader. I say, no, you ain't doing nothing. You're watching me pick up the trash and doing this and everything. So so to me, right there, that's not a leader. He's just a supervisor.
That's the truth.
Yeah, and it's talking about us being a servant as well.
But leader, you have to portray the leader.
Excuse me?
You know, when you a leader, you have to portray the leader because, you know, you want to follow what the leader does.
Follow what the leader does. That's yeah. meaning if the leader is picking up a trash and say, I'm going to do what the leader is doing, so I'll do the same thing. That's following the leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. That's being a servant.
I laugh because sometimes it's kind of hard to do that.
It's kind of hard to follow the leader?
It's kind of hard to serve.
It's kind of hard to serve?
You know, a big example of that is like, you know, in our job, when we have meetings,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're supposed to go see the consumer by ourselves. But there is a specific time when we go see the consumer for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Since we don't know what we're going to encounter, mm-hmm. they always, it's like a rule that you need to go with a second person to mm-hmm. go see that. And in the during the meeting, you know, everybody's asked a question, who needs, you mm-hmm. know, help to go see a consumer? And whoever does need help, you know, it's our job, the rest of us, to say, oh, I'm open, I could take you, I could go
yes.
with you. And, you know, and it's like, it's one particular person that she is all the time open, you know, and I feel like, you know, like, I say to myself that she's so, you know, she's so good that she's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time that I say she is good, that she's always open, I feel like everybody else is looking at me and they're like, you always close. Because I never offer. So I'm looking at this right now and I'm like, oh boy, I'm so sorry. I need to be a servant.
Always open. But there's something that's going to be here to do. I know even with my job, you know, they always say, my director say, there's no answer. Never say no. If he calls you in the rain, do something, we do it. He say, you know, say, oh, I'm busy, I'll take care of it later. No, right then and there, you take care of it. And if you don't, then you'll go, you know, usually he's like, call it and say, come to my office. You know? So basically, you know, say no. But that's one thing that I'll say, well, basically, I work, they want to always be, you know, you can't do that. I can't do it. You can't do it. You know, I have to be doing something. That's funny. Number three is a good one. Notice that Jesus knows who is going to betray him. But his love and his act of humble service included all of his disciples. What does this tell us about the nature of Jesus' love and the love of God the Father? And notice in, say, verse 2, because it says, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, but yet Jesus continued and washed Judas' feet as well. Mm-hmm. That's something right there. So what did this tell us about the nature of Jesus' love and the love of God the Father?
That he was a God of compassion, a God of peace, a God of happiness. He was just God of love. He was just a humble God.
And he was a God of compassion. He was a
humble servant, you know. I just believe that he was so humble. You know, that even though he knew that he was going to be betrayed by his own disciple, you know, he just wanted them to realize that even though somebody going to get you, do good unto them, you know, feed them, clothe them, you know, take care of them, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's the next part now. The legacy.
That's part of the legacy. Yeah. All right, you see that. Let me see. Will you be able to help out someone, serve someone who you know is going to mess you over?
Or your enemy.
It is a hard thing. Mm. It is very hard to do in the human.
But this shows us what God, how he treats us. Mm-hmm. We mess up. Mm-hmm. God still loves us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so it's that's part of what he left too. That's he loved. Yeah, he knew he was going to be betrayed, but he still loved Judas.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And that gives us all hope.
That gives us all hope.
whenever I mess up, I know he still loves me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the relationship with that we have with God. But I was trying to a little bit focus on and say, how's that? Because we're supposed to do the same thing what God has shown us. How's that when we interact with each other?
It is a hard thing to do. It is very, very hard.
You serve someone and they're not going to say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I get a lot of that, you know.
Do you still continue to serve with joy?
I have to. Yeah. It's my duty.
Okay.
To do that. So sometimes I take care of somebody, and one day this lady, she was like so filthy. With feces all over her and eating it and everything, you know. And I get my gown and I gowned up and masked up and everything, had everything on and went in and cleaned her up and, you know, and stuff like that. When I'm finished, she called me. She said, oh, are you a shit cleaner? You know, and call me a nigger and stuff like that. And I have to go back the next day and help her out. And I can't show her, you know, any, you know, like hurt her and stuff like that. I have to show her compassion for, you know, they want to say, you know, she don't know what she's doing. You know? But for me, I know she know what she's doing, because if somebody say something in 2 minutes and next 2 minutes that person forget, then you know that person's mind is going. But if a week going on and that person using the same word and saying it to you, that means that person really know what they say. Mm-hmm. But you have to treat them with kindness, you know, and you have to love them, you know, and you have to make sure they, you know, I just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with joy too.
Yeah, there's something to say about that. You know, when we serve people, you know, who might not appreciate, you know, anything, because Jesus didn't say with the disciples, he said, "Okay, I'll wash your feet. Now do mine." Mm-hmm. You know, he said, you know, he just did what he felt in his heart to do. You know, as commanded by the Father, the way of discerning of Lawrence of being a servant. And so, we're going to count that in this world. You know, but yet, you know, it's talking about serve with joy, what this whole lesson is about, you know, just continue on. You know, that we serve, that we know that the love that we receive from God, that we are continue to show that love to others, even though they may not receive it, like Jews did not receive, you know, Jesus' love and gift, but yet Jesus continued on with his mission, and this is what something that we need to do with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, anything else? I'm just going to close up right here. Any other remarks? Nothing?
The only thing I would just say is that I believe that serving is a privilege. You know, so. And I think many times we look at it as a chore or a task, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But if you really think about it, mm-hmm. Who are we to be able to serve anybody? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the fact that, like, especially like serving God,
yeah,
that's a supreme privilege. But serving another human being, I mean, that's a privilege, you know? And I think if we had that mentality, we would have more joy in the serving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But sometimes we look at it as a chore and a task and mm-hmm. something that's a burden.
And that's a chore.
Yeah. When it really is a privilege. It's mm-hmm. a privilege to be able to help someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, and it's a blessing, because how can you help someone if you're not blessed of God to be able to help?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think that helps us sometimes, you know, to get to the point where we say we get past maybe some of the inner reluctance we may have and things mm-hmm. like that. When you realize, and I think it helps across the board. Mm-hmm. I think it'll help when you're praying. When you view prayer as a privilege, mm-hmm. it won't exactly. be so hard to pray.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's a perspective thing, you know. This life we have, and especially the life in God, mm-hmm. is a privileged life.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
I was going to ask something also, because something like that happened to me, something like what happened to Christine in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I told you that I moved from Nebraska, and in India, literally in the hospital that I was, it was only 2 black people.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I had to go, you know, and literally take care of my patients, mm-hmm. you know. And I would say that at least 4 different times this happened to me, where they would be like, I don't want a black person to take care of me, you mm-hmm. know. And sometimes they would even curse at me. Mm-hmm. But so, and at the beginning, it was so hurtful for mm-hmm. me, like, it broke my heart. But then after that, onto one time, I just started thinking, and I said, who's sick? They the ones sick. Mm. You're here to take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, and if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have a job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that made me rethink, you mm-hmm. know. And instead, you know, like, pray for that person. You know, like, pray for the hatreds that they have, because mm-hmm. that's hatred that they have yeah. in their heart if they're going to say that to you. You yes. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I continue going there, and I continue. I think that I even serve that person mm-hmm. with a way better attitude.
Yes.
And you know, and it, at the end, it backfired, because I don't know if that's the word that I should say, or I learned something from it. Mm-hmm. What I learned was that, and every time that I went, I had that same patient. And I'm telling you, the beginning it was like I was hurt, but and then after that, I realized, he's the patient, you know, and I'm here to help him. So at the end, what ended up happening, after like 2 weeks of that patient being there, mm-hmm. you know, when it was time for him to leave, mm-hmm. you know, with tears in his eyes, he came to say sorry to me, because mm-hmm. he said that he couldn't believe that how many times, you know, he called me mm-hmm. bad words mm-hmm. and how many times he discriminated me, and I still treated him with respect, mm-hmm. you know, and like kind. I was so kind to him that you don't know, and I think that was not me. That was God that put that
exactly.
in me, you know. And once he saw that, I think that it became like a legacy, because I knew that not only me being black, but anybody else that he was going to go, he couldn't no longer treat them that way. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because he was trying to get a bad reaction out of me, and I didn't give it to him.
Mm-hmm. See how God is so good? Seriously. This is why it's so important, you know, when we have these Bible study, talk, and discussion, because we know if the Word of God is living, and as Brother Jeff said, you know, what happened back then still apply to us today. So we continue to serve with joy, man. We'll continue with part two next week. Amen. So let's close the books right now, and let's end with prayer. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for once again, like I said before, gathering us here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing to our minds, Lord, to serve, and how it is such a pleasure and such a privilege to serve with joy, Lord. Not only you, Lord, but also each other, God. Ask you, Heavenly Father, to please watch over us as we're about to go to our prospective homes, Lord. Ask you, Lord, that everything be safe and in order. And ask you, Lord, to please continue to watch over our friends and family, Lord, and continue to give us strength and empower and energy, Lord, until you call us back here once again, Lord. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we say and pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.